Eric, the Emerging Leaders podcast. We're on the final episode of the first series. I'm super excited to have Julie from Clubhouse's Girl Gang here. She started Girl Gang and we connected a few weeks ago, and I came into one of Julie's rooms on Clubhouse and I was so nervous getting into Clubhouse the first time that I was in there, and I was terrified to speak up, terrified to get up on stage. And I come into Julie's room and they were just having a genuine real chat about things that were going on but weren't being said. And definitely this perception of the more egoic, masculine dominated look at me mentality that was going on in some of the rooms, and just calling it out and being real and genuine about what we're about. And I was like, oh, this is my tribe. Put up my hand and say hi. No, so Julie has an amazing ability to create a space where people feel safe, to be able to share who they really are, but talk about life and business really from not just that needing to prove energy, but here's reality. Here's what's going well. Here's what's not going well. Let's talk about it and be real. So I couldn't imagine a better person to wrap up this first series with than Julie. And let's start it off with a bit of your journey to getting to starting the Girl Gang Room.
So lovely to be here. I feel like I'm sitting here like a Cheshire cat grinning at you. Because I'm the same, because we've spoken to each other for so many weeks now as static faces on Clubhouse, and now there's animation, and I'm not going to be able to stop grinning the whole way through.
Oh, no, I'll get some sore cheeks.
So, Clubhouse Girl Gang started basically on a whim. I had joined the platform exactly the same way as you had done. I was feeling nervous, so I was chabbling around about all these rooms. Really didn't have a clue what I was doing. You know, there's no intro to Clubhouse. You're thrown into this hallway and you've got no idea what it is. So I was just popping into rooms that interested me, usually business topics, because that is what I really thrive in talking about. And I just found that every single room that I was going into was actually repelling me. I felt like it was just huge egos with loud voices sitting up on the stage area, as they call it, and not having any meaningful discussion, just talking about big figures and how to earn ridiculous amounts of money. And it just repelled me. And I actually thought, this platform's not for me. I'm not going to stay on here. And then we were still in the midst of lockdown. And I thought, well, actually, nothing else happening. Why? I'm just going to set up my own room. So I did. So literally my second day on the platform with no followers or nobody to invite into the room, I just opened up a room and I, on a whim, called it Clubhouse Girl Gang because I wanted to attract females into it. And seven people came into the room and we had a gorgeous 1 hour conversation about being a female in business, what had happened along our journeys. And it was just amazing. Actually, somebody ended up crying in the room because she felt so emotional about having found people that she could completely relate to and resonate with. So we decided that we would meet again at the same time the following week, and we opened up the room. So I think there was seven of us, say, that first week, and the following week, four of us came back. And then it's just organically grown since then, and every week the room, it happens, and every week more people come in, and it's just absolutely lovely. So how did I get there? Should we talk about, do you want to know about my pathway into business, what my experience was, or do you want to just talk about Girl Gang right now?
Well, we'll go into both, but I think we'll go along the thread of Girl Gang and then we'll dive into some of the past with
Okay.
Because I know how that you're very passionate about
businesses.
So we'll go into that a little bit later, but we'll chat a little bit about the Girl Gang because I think that's really important. Yeah. So with the Girl Gang, what I love about it is how organic it is and how it's interesting that people talk a lot about engagement and social media and using all of these tactics and stuff, but then there's a way to do it genuinely. And
yeah.
And so I'd love to chat a little bit more about that if you're open to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a huge, huge believer in growing organically on social media. There are so many tactics, and there are some tactics that you can use to grow organically as well. But if you do that in an authentic manner, you are going to grow a tribe of people that are absolutely connected to you. And it might be slower than the other tactics that can make you build really, really quickly. But what happens if you build organically with people that you genuinely have an interest in? And if they have an interest in you, then your tribe becomes really engaged. And that in itself is the most important thing on social media, if you ask me, is to have engaged interest in you and to do that back for other people. Because the community, I believe, builds community. And the more you are authentic, the more you're interested, and the more you organically grow, your tribe becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, but in the right way. You can go out onto any of the social media platforms and grow really, really fast and end up with a huge tribe of people who are not really interested in what you're doing. And in the long run, that doesn't benefit you. My belief is grow community because you get something out of the community and the community gets something back from you. And also, my real hope for Girl Gang was that it became a community and it had lots of little sub-communities in it. So I see myself more as a curator of people, bringing people together who can, there might be people that come into Girl Gang who I resonate with, but we're not doing the same thing. But they find other people within Girl Gang who they are doing the same thing. So they go off and build a little community together. And that all grows organically. And as one community grows, the rest of all the community grow, all the communities grow. And for me, that is what is so important, because I really believe that in your community, you can grow together and rise together. And you'll always hear me say, we rise together. And I absolutely believe that that's possible. So...
Oh dear, one of the many things I love about Julie is how just genuine and down to earth that you are. And for you watching, Julie's built a really, really successful community. I view your community as a very successful community.
Thank you. I do too. You know, I'm not going to pretend that I don't, because I do too. And it literally fills my heart with joy when I see what's going on. It's lovely. I completely love it.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And I'm glad that you said that as well, because I think that there's a lot that we have in common. And there's been a long, long time that I've been looking for people like you to connect with. I felt like I've been out in the business wilderness for 9 years trying to find something. And turns out it was hiding in Edinburgh, Scotland.
Well, just outside. No, I'm just outside Glasgow.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I love Edinburgh. Edinburgh's my favourite, so maybe that's where you got that from. Yeah, but I feel the same way, Melanie, that you might have said this before on Clubhouse, that I had this vision, and we're going to talk about vision at some point. Yes. I have had this vision of this group of women for the longest time. I just didn't necessarily know where it was going to come from. And I feel like... when I found Clubhouse, within a couple of days, I was like, this is it. This is the place. Because I really, although I love social media and I use social media for business and I have successfully done so, I really love connecting with voice.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that has been so powerful on Clubhouse, is that very, very quickly you get the measure of somebody. You can tell if they're authentic. There's some people who... I think are saying that they're being authentic, but they're really not. They have a inside ulterior motive. If you genuinely care about other people, it's hard to hide that. And it's also hard to pretend that you are that over a number of weeks in lots of different areas, speaking to lots of different people. You couldn't keep it up, could you?
No.
If you were pretending, you couldn't keep it up. So Clubhouse has, for me, just been the thing that has allowed me to live out this vision, to bring this community that I have thought about for a long, long time to life. And I'm excited to see where we end up.
Yeah, it's definitely made me excited about social media for the first time in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's just, you can't hide who you are on a real lifetime interaction with multiple people. So it's like, oh, thank goodness. Even on Instagram and stuff like that, I try, but it's just never really been able to express myself fully.
Yeah. I mean, I do think Instagram is powerful as well, but there's so much noise on Instagram that you need to find a way to fight through that noise. And I do believe that you can show your authenticity on Instagram, but I do think it takes a lot longer. It's a much longer process than jumping into a room with somebody for an hour and having a conversation. And by the end of that hour, you kind of know whether that person is somebody that you want to connect more with, or whether you're just going to move away from each other. Do you agree with that? I think that's...
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So we'll circle back around towards the end. Community building. Because I know for me, it's something that I've always done my best to show up as, just be as real and transparent as I can and imperfect. And I love showing up. And it's the reason why I do it is because, well, if I can show up like this, it means that it gives other people permission to do
this. Absolutely. None of us are perfect, are we? Yeah. None of us are perfect.
No.
And I really feel on social media that we are in the middle of a shift. For a long number of years, everything had to be perfect. You had to have this perfect life in a big million-pound house, driving a Lamborghini and being a size 6 woman with long flowing hair and hardly any clothes next to your Lamborghini before you get any traction on Instagram or on the internet.
Yeah.
And I feel like we are coming out of the other end of that now. People are completely over it.
Yeah.
And we are ready for authenticity and realness and stories and hearing people's journeys. I am such a lover of stories, of people's hearing where they came from, how they've got to where they are. And there's so much power in that, because if you can tell the true story with all the mistakes and all the failures, it makes other people realise that actually we're all just the same at the end of the day.
Yeah.
There's nothing different between somebody that's doing something really successfully and the person that's watching them and hoping that they can be successful.
Yeah.
All that's different is maybe a little bit of self-belief or a little bit of action. And I really believe that we're at a point where people are ready to hear these kind of realities and stories, and the possibilities are endless for women in this global marketplace. And I am so, so desperate to get our voices heard and show everybody what's possible.
Yeah. Oh, I remember at the conversation the week we did vision, and even just talking about the vision got mine clear for what this is. And it was just literally every person has a story, and every story is worthy of being heard fully.
Yeah.
So the other side of things is, you are actually quite a savvy business owner in your own right. So like you said, you've been running business for 12 years now.
Yeah. But so this is one of the things that I always say. When I went into those original Clubhouse shows, people kept saying 6 figures, 7 figures, 8 figures, even 9 figure businesses. And I was sitting in the audience, that's not me. I'm a mum. I run a business. I work a few days a week, and I'm not a 6 figure business. And I've never, ever pretended that I am. But I think that's amazing. I'm not saying that I won't be a 6 figure business. And I think there's a place for people to hear that success doesn't have to mean you don't need to be earning 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 figures to be successful. Success is whatever it is to you personally. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm a child of divorce. So my parents divorced when I was younger. So my mum had to work. And both my sister and I came home from school every day to an empty house. And my mum wouldn't come home until later on at night time. She wouldn't get in until like 7 o'clock at night because she worked in Glasgow. So she finished her work and then she had to commute home and go to the shops and do all those things that women have to do. So she wouldn't get home till 7 o'clock at night, and then she'd be shattered. And there was no nice sense of, even though my mum was trying her best, but there was no lovely family unit. And when I had my children, I really felt passionately that I wanted them to come home off of the school bus and for me to be there for them. So success for me meant that I could have a business, working from home and earn a living and be here for my kids. And I really wanted to get that across to other people, that it's okay if you're earning £100 in your business and that's all you want to earn, that's success. If you are earning £1 million a month in your business and that's what you want to achieve, that's success. It's also subjective and personal.
Yeah.
And I think there's a real place for that to be said.
Absolutely. Like, this was the first conversation that I dropped in on my first Girl Gang Room. I was like, finally, someone's talking about this, because it's what I passionately believe in too, because it's such a personal thing. But that's why I rarely even talk about my swimming stuff. And the reason is because it's the least thing that makes up who I am, you know?
I think I've known you for like 3 weeks or something when I clicked on your profile, and I was like, wait a minute, she hasn't ever mentioned these medals. And that's one of the things that made me really, really love you even more though, because I really appreciate that kind of humility. You know, you don't feel the need to come up and say, oh, I'm Melanie and I've won gold medals. You just come on and be yourself, and then later on we find more and more out about you.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It works its way into the conversation where it serves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
it's like, I don't really do it as a look at me. It's more like where I feel like it's of service. For me, it was all that obsessive, compulsive, driven need to achieve in order to feel okay about myself.
Yeah, I can resonate with that.
So I had to learn that success wasn't about all that. I was like seeking all of those achievements to try and feel fulfilled. And then I realized that, oh, you find fulfillment on the journey.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely a big lesson, and I learned a lot from it. So that whole success is what success gets to me.
Yeah.
And like I did the same thing in business. I was striving and I was miserable, 10 times happier now. And wanting to be a mum who's there for kids. I'm not pregnant. Yeah. I haven't had kids yet, but that's where I want to go. And I was like, prioritizing my own happiness and my own desires, that's new.
Yeah.
Totally on board, totally 100% believe in what you're about as well. At the same time, you're a pretty savvy business lady as well. To have a business for 12 years to get to the point of waiting lists, you know.
Yeah. I do okay. My photography brand is popular, and I do not struggle for business. Again, I think that a lot of that goes down to just being authentic. When I first started my photography business, I was a wedding photographer, and then I had my baby, so I kind of moved into portrait photography because I didn't want to be away on the weekends. When I started, I did what everybody else was doing. So I was new in business, and I was just kind of looking around, and I was looking at the trends, and at the newborn photography trends here at that time were babies in buckets and in Victorian prams and all this really fluffy, fancy stuff. And I did that because I hadn't done any market research. I hadn't looked at positioning myself. I just thought, well, that's what people want. I'm going to do this. So I started building my newborn photography business in that way, and just never felt comfortable with it because it was not me at all. And then my twins were born, and I started taking photographs of them for myself. And all I was doing was with a little white newborn onesie. They were dressed in that on really natural white backgrounds and wrapped up in white blankets, because that's what I wanted them to be photographed. That's what I wanted to remember. And that was a kind of light bulb. I was like, wait a minute, well, actually, if I like these, then there's going to be somebody else that likes this style of photography. And this really makes me feel comfortable, and this is what I really love, and this memory is what I want to pass on to other mums. When their kid is 21, they're going to look back and not want to look at their baby dressed as a ladybird. They're going to want to look at their baby exactly how stretching arms. And so at that point, I really took the time and started doing all the things that I now tell people to do, working out who my ideal client was, thinking how they think, feeling how they feel. There's so much of me in my ideal photography client. And it's quite often the case, isn't it, when we go through that ideal client journey, that there's so many traits in that avatar that you have yourself, or the person that you used to be. So I really worked on that. And that is really when everything changed my business. I became busier and busier and busier. I speak to people directly, and I have it down to like what car they drive, what they do the weekend. And 9 times out of 10, when they drive up, they drive the car. I have yoga as one of their interests, and literally 9 out of 10 of the mums do yoga. So it all comes back to that. It all comes back to really knowing who I'm speaking to and who I want to serve and what I want to give them. And that has created a nice, successful business for me. I'm blushing.
That is beautiful.
Yes. 12 years is a long time to have maintained a business. I don't lose sight of that. You know, lots of businesses don't make it, and I'm very grateful that mine has. And fingers crossed we'll make it through this horrible pandemic when a lot of people haven't.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple of like massive gems that you touched on with the market research and positioning, and they're two big things that I don't think we're even spoken about enough, especially when it comes to online marketing. Like we've been able to hashtags and things like that, but the importance of market research and positioning, that's huge. You've got a mountain on you there on that one.
Sure. If we dial right back, I was a social worker. So I had no business experience. I had gone to university and I'd done a social work degree. And I was very, very focused on where I wanted to be in my career. I didn't want to stay in frontline social work. I wanted to move to policymaking, working for the government. I wanted to have an impact and create change, specifically in addiction. So when the job that I decided that I wanted was on the horizon, I found out that I was going to need a master's to do this. I went back to university and I worked really hard to do that. And then I went through all the process of going for the job. And this kind of touches on where some of my passion about female empowerment comes from, because something happened to me along that journey. I went for an interview while I was pregnant, and there was a panel of, I think there was 4 or 5 people on the panel, and one of them was female. And when I went in for the interview, she said to me, "Oh, are you pregnant?" And I said, "Oh yeah," like really excited, first baby. I said, "Oh yeah," and you know, talked about it, which we probably shouldn't have done in an interview setting. Anyway, long story short, when it came to the marking, I never got the job. And when I got the marking back, you get feedback. All the men on the panel had marked me very, very similar scores, and the female who had made a big chat about me being pregnant had marked me really differently, much, much lower.
Oh,
yeah, and that was a real eye-opener for me, that not all females are supportive of other females. And at the time I was really upset. What happened was very quickly afterwards I had my baby, and my mindset about working out with the home really changed. I thought it never would, but it did when my baby arrived. So that was another one of the pushes that made me think, well, I'm not going to have my life dictated to by people who are not going to be supportive of me. I want to be at home and have a business and be in charge of my own life. So I knew I didn't have any photography qualifications. I knew that I could take decent photographs. It's something I'd done my whole life. So it was really just a vehicle to get me a business. It wasn't like I had this undying passion to be a photographer. I just needed something that was going to be a business for me. So I started the business, and while other people round about me who I came into contact with, who were building photography businesses, while they all went out and invested in learning how to take better photographs, I went out and learned how to have better business skills. Because I absolutely believe that you can be the best photographer in the world, but if you don't know anything about business, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or you can be an average photographer and be super savvy at business and really be amazing. So I really, really spent time on learning about marketing, positioning, ideal clients. And that has definitely benefited me along the way.
Oh, that's awesome.
I am horrendous in front of the camera. It's something that a lot of photographers really struggle with. We're so good at telling other people you need to be in front of the camera, you need to have photos of yourself. But when it comes to doing it ourselves, not so good.
My husband's the same. He likes being behind the camera, not in front of it. I think one of the cool things that I never realised was just the amount of people in the girl gang that are all Scotland.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's cool. I love it. I never knew. My mum's ancestry goes back to Northern Ireland, and her dad was a Simpson. And apparently the Simpsons are from Scotland. So I haven't ever done my ancestry, but maybe I've got a bit of Scottish in me somewhere.
I bet you have. Mate, I've got some Irish. So yeah. It's the good old Celticness, as I said at the start.
Yeah. Let's go into what is your vision for Girl Gang and what is your vision for the future. That can be for your family or that can be for Scotland. That can be whatever level, micro or macro, resonates.
So vision for Girl Gang is something that I'm really passionate about, and it's not necessarily just Girl Gang, it is vision for women, because I just think the possibilities now are endless. No longer do women have to find a job that they can work around the really awkward school drop-off and pick-up times. How difficult is it for a woman to have a career and be a mother and try and do both of those successfully? It is so difficult. If you are out in a corporate career doing really, really well, you probably need to be passing a lot of your childcare on to somebody else. And again, that's absolutely fine if you want to do that. But there's so many women that don't want to do that. They want to be successful, but they also want to be a mother and they want to be a hands-on present mother. Yeah. So how do you become successful when you can work from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon and you need to leave to be at the schools? It's so limited in the corporate arena. It's so limited in what you can do. But now we live in this digital age where every single woman has a global marketplace literally at our fingertips. You don't even need a computer anymore. Everybody has a mobile phone. And you have all this endless possibility that you can work around about your children while you're at home, building your home and being a mum. I just find it so exciting. And I just want other women to be able to believe in themselves enough to go out and do something with it. Because it's happening and it's going to continue to happen and it's going to continue to grow, and people can either sit on the sidelines and watch it happen and 5 years from now think, I wish I had done that, or I wish I had been part of that, or I wish I'd started that 5 years ago. Or you can just take action right now and create your vision and make your decision and build your strategy and get out there and build a legacy for yourself, for your family, for other women, for young girls. That is my absolute goal with Girl Gang. And it's also to show that you can go out and build a business without being the term that is thrown about all the time. You've got to be a Greg, got to be a boss bitch or a boss babe, or I just don't resonate with any of that. I absolutely think that you can be a little bit shy and a little bit quiet and a bit of an introvert and still have a successful business. You don't need to be aggressive and hustling 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can build slowly, you can build organically, and you can build success in whatever that means to you. I find that hustle, boss babe, I find it all a bit toxic.
Yeah.
And I really just want to use my voice to show women that you don't need to do that. You can be a mum at home playing with Lego on the floor with your child and then taking an hour and doing some of your work and building a business. So I feel really, really passionately about that. And so that is where my passion for Girl Gang lies, is to show women that the possibilities are endless right now. And if they don't believe it themselves, just stick with us for a little while.
Yeah.
Because when you're done, you will believe it.
Yeah.
When you finish this journey with us, you will believe that you can do it, and I am going to be right behind you, cheering you on.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're watching and you resonate with Julie, please do yourself a favour and make sure you do connect on Girl Gang on Clubhouse. I'll put all the information to connect with Julie further below this, but the website's www.chgirlgang.com, and you can find Julie on Instagram. I love your vision. I love what you're about. And my intention really is I just want to be a part of it. So however I can contribute, I'm more than happy to.
Although I was just saying to my husband the other night, you know, I do quite openly say that I am a bit of an introvert. I really thrive on stories and chats and connecting with people, but I also really massively thrive on time on my own.
I think we've said this before on one of the rooms, I'm an extroverted introvert.
Totally. I mean, I have that in my Clubhouse bio that I am absolutely an extroverted introvert.
Absolutely. Well, I get it. I need that time to myself to keep my sanity.
And you said you were asking about vision for myself. I don't really actually have a big vision for myself at the moment. I have a really strong desire to show my girls that they can do whatever they want to do, and my son, but the desire more for my girls comes because of how society teaches us. Boys are always given the permission to be whatever they want to be. And so I really want to show my girls that it's possible to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, messages that we get from such a young age that we don't even realise are there and are limiting us. And it is more so as women, there's a lot more stuff about criteria that we the boxes that we need to tick.
Absolutely. So, and that's when I go back to with the motherhood thing. And I know you're not there yet in your journey, but the motherhood thing, it is huge. If you're a woman who has a desire to be successful, when these babies come along, that desire to be successful doesn't completely disappear. It maybe gets shelved a little bit for a number of years where you're really focused on the babies and all the early days. And I had three babies really quickly. So there was a time that I thought, oh, I probably won't ever be interested in working again. But my little boy was 15 months when my twins were born. So it was full on for a time. Wow. Actually, it came back quite quickly that I did want to still work. As the years go on and as they become more independent, you begin to see, well, I'm still going to have a life after they're gone. I can't let motherhood completely define me.
Yeah.
You know, because what happens when they're all off living their lives?
One final question for you before we wrap it up. I'm going to do this one a little bit differently because of our conversation. From your perspective, when you look at an example of someone who inspires you, someone who's out there doing good in the world, what is it that inspires you about people who are out there with a vision and a mission, wanting to make a difference and have an impact in people's lives?
Everything that we've just talked about, people who are authentic, people who are genuine. One of my biggest things is kindness. People who are kind. It just takes nothing to be a kind human being. So if you're kind, if you're genuine, if you can show me that you really, really care. And you know, the person who always springs to mind, somebody who I'm massively inspired by, is Michelle Obama. Yeah. She is authentic. She is genuine. She is kind. She is inspiring. She is powerful. If you've got those qualities, it inspires me and it pushes me forward. And I think like attracts like. And that's why I meet people like you. Yeah. Because you're all of those things, and that's why we have this lovely community of people who genuinely care, because everybody resonates with all of those qualities. Like we talked about in the beginning, you know, I don't see myself as a leader. I might have been the person that started it, but this community is only what it is because of everybody that comes in and takes part in it.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, love it. And the takeaway I've kind of taken from this as well is that the emerging leaders, what this podcast is it's not me, it's not you, it's the people who are watching this.
Yes.
It's
yes.
The people in
yes.
your gang.
Yes.
They're the ones who are the emerging leaders that this whole thing was about. Yeah.
I absolutely believe that.
And I love how focused and, I suppose, committed the women are in the group to collaboration.
Yeah.
So, you know, that we don't need to compete with each other. We can be so much better if we work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so true. When women support each other, incredible things happen. It is true. Women are conditioned, from children we are conditioned to be against each other, to compete against each other. That whole mean ghetto mentality, which travels all the way through your formative years, there's no need for it. There is absolutely no need for it. And in fact, if you don't have that attitude, you'll get on further. I absolutely believe it.
That's a great message to finish with. It's been an absolute pleasure and an honour. Thank you so much for taking the time. Make sure, and people watching this, do yourself a favour. Connect with Julie.
Thank you, Melanie. It has been so lovely talking to you. I have loved it.
Yes. And the key takeaway is you are the emerging leader. So with that, signing off. It's been a pleasure and an honour. We'll see you for another episode soon, hopefully. And, yeah, just more power to you.
And you. Thank you, Melanie.
No worries.